It's Midday Live, Lawrence Savant, Dr. Drew, 800-222-5222.
Coming up.
Yes, we got James R. Fitzgerald coming in.
Not to be confused with James Fitzgerald or Jimmy Fitzgerald.
Or my friend Jim Fitzgerald, who's a different guy. Retired FBI agent, criminal profiler, James Fitzgerald. The book is The Journey to the Center of the Mind.
Which I thought was about LSD.
I don't think so. James, welcome.
Yeah, I borrowed it actually from Jules Verne, The Journey to the Center of the Earth, and the Boy Dukes in 1969. But it's my pre-book memoir series, and I'm very happy with it, and covers the bomb case, a lot of other things. But I know we're here to talk about some of these bombings going on recently, so
yeah,
that's what I'm here for.
I'm interested to know your thoughts on the Elisa Viejo bombing yesterday. A woman was killed. They're saying that there was a package involved or something inside an office that may have targeted this woman. It may have arrived there, or it might have been something being developed within that office. Any? I know it's very little information, but wondering if you have any sense on what this might be.
Yeah, Dr. Drew, and I'm always, it's not like in the old days when I was in the FBI and I would be right in the middle of these cases. You know, we're all forced here to deal with just the media relation of what we know so far. But yeah, it does seem to be some interesting aspects here. Bombers are a very rare breed, and I was saying this in a lot of media interviews I did back in March during the Austin bombings. And these people are sort of a different kind of criminal, different kind of a violent offender. They're not necessarily the up close and confrontational type. So what we have to figure here is what kind of device was in fact in this building, and how did it get there? And was it sent through the mail or FedEx or UPS? Was there a name of a specific person on it or a company? These are all questions, of course, the investigators are want to know. They probably know this by now. Or was it in fact placed there? And did somebody walk in and just put it down in the corner of an office? Did they break in overnight and put it there? Who has access to this office? So there's a lot of questions we still have to get answered for us to put together exactly why this woman, if she was the woman, why that was the intended victim of this case, why she was chosen, why this company. And that's basically, it's called victimology in my world of profiling. It could be the business. It could be the entire building. Or it could be the woman herself or one of the three people who were injured.
We heard rumors of domestic violence motivating it, or domestic something. Mm-hmm. And that, I imagine, be common motivator, or is that something unusual for a bomber?
Well, again, the victimology will have to be looked at here, and they'll have to take everybody in that building and break down what's been going on in their lives. There have been bombings in the past, certainly shootings and other sorts of violent offenses. That were the result of ongoing domestic aggression or abuse of some sort. So that can't be ruled out here. Of course, the person who then was the abuser in the past wound up killing this woman. Most likely he, statistically speaking, as opposed to another woman as a bomber, but he would most likely be the likely suspect. So let's see what this guy decides to do once they start tracking down her relationships, her intimate partners, and who knows what he could wind up doing, taking himself out, trying to take police out when they confront him.
Great.
So it's still a very active situation here, needless to say.
We're talking to James R. Fitzgerald, criminal profiler, retired FBI agent. You know, initially when this story broke, we heard that it was a car crashing into the building and causing this bomb, or this explosion, I should say. Now that we know it was an individual who perhaps intentionally put it there, does it change how this is investigated?
Well, sure. I mean, you know, driving a car into a building or a group of persons as violent and as destructive as it can be, it's relatively low sophistication on the grand scheme of criminal offenses or criminal endeavors. Building a functional and effective IED, improvised explosive device, that's a whole different world of violent behavior. Mm. And it takes a lot of pre-planning. There's a whole sort of, you know, psychopathy behind that in many cases. It's one thing to play around with bombs and blow them up in the woods and never, you know, try to hurt anybody. But when you actually follow through and kill, injure people, that's a whole different world that you've just entered, and you put a lot of time, effort, and practice into doing these things.
That's
rarely
what
are
I learned.
These types of bombs.
That's what
rarely
I learned.
Are these types of,
go ahead, finish.
I'm sorry.
James, go ahead, please.
Rarely are these types of bombings that we saw yesterday the offender's first bombing. They've had some practice runs before this, maybe not with people, maybe in the woods blowing up little boxes. And that's what the police and FBI and other agencies are going to be looking at, too.
We're talking to James R. Fitzgerald, criminal profiler, retired FBI agent. The book is Journey to the Center of the Mind. I learned that from the Austin story, was that you have to really know what you're doing with these bombs. You have to practice them. You have to
work with them.
You have to figure out how to detonate them, this kind of stuff. But we will talk about the Austin bombing next, James. We're going to take a little break. 800-222-5222. It's Lawrence Vaughn. It's Dr. Drew. It's Midday Live.